Jerusalem. How I long for you to be at your wall.
Shalom and welcome to this week's Living Torah. I guess the big news, by the time this gets out, will be who is the new prime minister in Israel. As Hanok Young will normally quote, whatever the movie is, there's a new sheriff in town. A lot like the old sheriff, but there's a new sheriff. So don't know if Bibi Netanyahu is going to pull this one off or not. They're saying that he is the only one really that can put together a coalition government. But I really do not see things changing in the future. I've met Mr. Netanyahu. I think he's a great guy. I don't see him as the Messiah. He's a politician. The same as Donald Trump, the same as all these other people, they're politicians, and politics has not been too good. It does not have a very good track record for 6,000 years of being able to solve the problems. So what do you think? Well, I don't know. I think we should be looking for one in whom the government shall rest upon his shoulders. And that is what Isaiah chapter 9 says. About unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given, and the government will rest upon his shoulders. In Daniel chapter 7, it talks about that there is one who is to be given an eternal kingdom. That's the only politician. I guess even using the word politician with Messiah just doesn't sound right. So, before we get into Philippians, Kathy and I were on the road, as some of you know, for a couple weeks, and spent an evening with a couple of good friends of ours, and I did not know that she was an author. I was talking to her and her husband, and they've got these boxes all over the place, and Kathy looked in one of them, as she would do, and I looked in one, but I didn't admit it, okay? But I saw there was books, and so in there was a number of books that she's written. And this is Deanna Willman. I want to do a little advertising here, because I haven't gone through each of them, but I do trust Deanna. So she has one, a very simple book on proclaiming my feasts. This is she said, I wanted something that was just, you know, somebody could sit down in just a short amount of time and get an idea of the feast. So, Proclaim My Feasts. She has one on I Am a Hebrew. And interesting enough, she did not know. She pulled this picture off the internet. Deanna has not been to Israel yet, Deanna. And this is a picture of a tree that was on the Arbel Cliff in the northern, up in the Galilee region. And I actually have a picture of Hanok Young and myself standing there trying to put the tree back together. But somebody came along and cut the tree down. That's just wrong. Just totally wrong. So this is I Am a Hebrew. And it is very similar, I would imagine. Like I said, I haven't read it yet. But I think it was kind of a shortened, condensed version of maybe what Batya Wooten did of Who is Israel. She has a children's book called Loving My Neighbor, and also a children's book on Shabbat. Now, this is amazing illustrations that are in here. I can't turn it real well, but the illustrations. She also has one on Arab Shabbat, and our youngest son Daniel already has that one in his hands. And this one's going to his hands pretty fast for their children. So, where can you get these incredible books? I'm going to try to put on the website, on my newsletter this Thursday, the link to this. But just in case I don't, it is Seven Lamps Ministries. So Seven Lamps Ministries, I think it's .com. Let me see if I can, I don't have that back up here still. So check it out, Seven Lamps Ministries. Nope, still don't have it there. And turn that off. Check those books out. They are absolutely amazing. We need more resources for children. And I think those are really, really, really good resources. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to go to verse 14. And I'm excited about these verses here. I do. Okay, and let's go back up. Brothers, I, for my part, do not think of myself as having gotten a hold or attained it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind me, straining forward toward what lies ahead. Verse 14, pick it up. I keep pursuing the goal in order to win the prize offered by Elohim's upward calling, Aliyah, upward calling in the Messiah, Yeshua. So, couple of words here to key on first. Number one is pursuing. What are you pursuing today? Are you pursuing anything? It's an honest question. I think it's a question that needs to be asked. In this messianic Hebrew roots walk, we need to ask ourselves, what is it that is being pursued? Now, I could go back and I just, every year I just had some emails on this again regarding the calendar and the new moon and all of these things. And, I won't get into the emails that I received. I don't really want to get personal about it here. But a moon, the moon, did not hang upon an execution stake for my redemption. A pronunciation of a name did not hang upon an execution stake for my redemption. The shape of the earth did not hang upon an execution stake for my redemption. It was the Redeemer. So this is why I go back over and over and over again to the verse of Psalm 40, verse 7. Behold, I am coming. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. Now, I see nothing more, nothing greater, no one greater to pursue than the Messiah himself. Because as I am pursuing the Messiah, the living revelation of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh that is presented to us from Genesis through maps. I'll even go to maps on this one because his kingdom will be in Israel. So, but the living word that is revealed to us throughout the Torah, the writings, the prophets, the gospels, the apostolic writings, it is all about a revelation of the Messiah, who is a revelation of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, the Father himself. But the goal that is to be pursued, and I want you to listen to these words very carefully, the end goal is not the Messiah, but it is the Messiah in his kingdom. Okay, I'm choosing my words, trying to choose my words very carefully there. It didn't come out the way that I was thinking it was going to, but that's okay also. So the end goal that we are pursuing is not the Messiah, but the Messiah in his kingdom. It is the work of Messiah, son of Joseph, that will give way to and bring forth the kingdom of Messiah, son of David, the conquering king. So, I don't see that Paul would have a problem with what I just said. That he is pursuing Messiah so that he may pursue the goal, which is Messiah in the kingdom of Messiah. That's what the whole book is about, folks. Again, from Genesis to maps, that is what the book is about. It is about us being restored to a kingdom in which he is ruling and reigning over that kingdom. So, back to the words. Pursue. Pursue is an active word. It is something I just was watching the news, a couple of different shots the other day. One of them was, I can't remember where it was, but three officers that were pursuing a guy that had stolen a truck. These guys rammed him. They pushed him off the road. One of them actually pulled out a weapon and almost shot the guy. Ended up not doing that. He put his firearm back. Not going to judge his actions. I sure wouldn't want to pull that trigger myself. But ended up that this guy got away in that truck. Somehow he was able to evade three officers that were chasing him. I would have to say, again, not judging their actions, because I would not want to be in any of their jobs. In the job of a police officer today, you are you're wrong if you do what is wrong, and you're wrong if you do what is right. So this is not a statement regarding police officers. But they lost that which they were pursuing. Why? Because they would not take the desperate action that was needed in order to apprehend that which they were pursuing. The officer that pulled out his firearm could have apprehended that which he was pursuing. What went through that man's mind, I have no way of knowing. Was it that he was considering the taking of life? Maybe. Was it that he was considering that if I pull this trigger, I'm going to have a nightmare in front of me? He had seen court cases. He had seen officers that had done the right thing and had still paid a price for it. Whatever it was that was going through his mind, he decided on caution, and that caution stopped his pursuing of that which he had intended to apprehend. Another one happened recently. It was actually in Salt Lake City, another truck, another stolen truck. The officers swarmed this guy, ended up killing him. They had it in their mind. They would apprehend that which they were pursuing, and it made no difference what got in their way. How are we pursuing his kingdom? What are we doing regarding pursuing his kingdom? Is it only a prayer that you pray on Shabbat? Our Father, who is in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On and on and on, amen. Is that the only pursuing that you are doing of the kingdom? Have you come to the place in life that you're too busy to pursue his kingdom? Are you retired? Well, you know, I mean, I've paid my dues. I've done what I should do, and I'm just going to kind of sit back and wait for everything to play out. I'm getting older, and, you know, it's not as easy to get up out of bed, and, you know, I'm just kind of sitting there. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are breathing right now, test it, okay? Get a mirror, put it under your nose, see if you get some water vapor there. Turn to your spouse and breathe on them and ask them if they felt anything, if they smelled anything, okay? Coffee, you know, Shabbat morning coffee. If you're breathing, then you and I have a call to pursue his kingdom. We not only are called to pursue his kingdom, but we are called to share his kingdom. Matthew chapter 16. Go back and read those words. Matthew chapter 28. Mark chapter 16. Go back and read those words. Go into all of the world and preach the gospel. What does he say? Share. Share with others that which you have been given. I want to ask you, when is the last time that you shared with someone what you believe? When's the last time that you shared with someone what you say you believed? If you cannot remember the last time that you shared what you say you believe, I have to question whether you really believe it or not. I'm talking to myself too, okay? I'm not specifically just, you know, speaking against you. I'm talking to myself as I'm saying this also. When is the last time that any of us shared our faith in Messiah, our walk in Torah? You know, we are a people that have been rejected, have we not? Shaul, writer of the book of Philippians, was a man who had been rejected. I would dare say that he had been rejected on levels that you and I have never even imagined. Probably most of us have never been beaten with rods, maybe a stick or a switch that your mother or father made you get from the tree, or a, you know, a shoe or a paddle or a belt or something like that. But most of that was for different reasons. Most of us have never been beaten with rods because of what we walk in. We've never been thrown in jail. Maybe you've been thrown in jail. Thank God that I never was. Would just as soon never go there. I did prison ministry one time, and when they locked that door behind me, it was like, I don't like this. Most of us have never been thrown in prison for what we say we believe. We haven't been thrown in prison for the life that we are portraying. Shaul knew what it was like to be rejected at a level that we don't. Messiah himself was rejected, but it did not keep him. His rejection did not keep him from moving forward to our redemption, did it? So where's the vision? Where's the vision for us pursuing the kingdom, and then in doing so, finding others and helping them pursue the kingdom? How you do that? I've got this video that I do every week. Many of you will, I'll get people to email me, say, you know, I enjoyed it. That's great. Hey, that's wonderful. I appreciate that. Some of you even donate so we can do other things and help out. When's the last time that you passed this video or this audio on to someone else? I hadn't thought about that. It's like, okay, well, we've watched Mike this week, and that was pretty good. I enjoyed that, and okay, it's time to have a donut or whatever you do on Shabbat afternoon, you know? But when's the last time that just saying, hey, I'm going to pass this on? I think this is pretty good stuff. Maybe it's not good stuff. So if it's not, why are you watching it? If it's not worth passing on, why are you watching it? Find someone else, you know? But it's, when's the last time that you took something that Bill or Brad or Rico or, you know, or 100,000 other teachers or Barry on House of David is now going live on Facebook, Cole Davis, you know, or are you passing this on? See, if we're actively pursuing something, whatever we are actively pursuing in life, we are going to have people that are going to at least ask, what are you pursuing? If you're standing still, not going anywhere, most people will not ask you, where are you going? Because it's very obvious. If you're standing still, not going anywhere, it's obvious that you're not going anywhere, so no one's going to ask you where you're going. I mean, that's kind of simple, isn't it? But when you start pursuing something, you will attract people's attention. these officers that I was talking about pursuing, I'll guarantee you with sirens blaring down the road, tires screeching, and everyone going way outside the speed limit, people who were walking along the sidewalk didn't just keep walking and not turn and look. When an ambulance goes down the road, what do? You turn and look at the ambulance. When a fire truck goes down the road, you turn and look at the fire truck. Why? Because it's going somewhere, and you're interested in where it's going. You don't turn on the news at night to find out where the Yugo that was doing 20 miles an hour down the road was going. Because you know they weren't really going anywhere important. Because they're in a Yugo, which is probably going to break down before they get there. Those of you that were around during the days of Yugos. But when you see a fire engine, a fire truck, you see five fire trucks going down the road with sirens blazing, followed by cop cars and a couple of ambulances, what are you going to do? You're probably going to turn on the news that night to figure out where that thing was going. They weren't just doing this on a training mission. You're going to turn on the news to find out where they were going. You and I need to be pursuing the kingdom in such a way that it's lights flashing, sirens blazing, whatever sirens do, roar, blaze, whatever. We need to be going somewhere. See, I believe that the kingdom is coming. I pray, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kavod Malkuto Leolam Vayed. Shema, here, I can't do it in English anymore. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Blessed be His name, His glorious kingdom forever and ever. Kathy and I do that every day, 9 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock p.m. Been doing this for years. I add on the end, Shalom Yerushalayim. Many days, I will add, may your kingdom come soon and in my lifetime. I want to be active regarding the kingdom coming. Now, does that mean that my life is going to affect His kingdom coming sooner? If there's a way that that could happen, I would ask and pray that the Father would reveal it to me and do it now. Do it soon. Do it in my day. If I can affect His kingdom coming sooner, I want to be first in line for that task, for that assignment. Way too many people. Well, I know that we've been praying that His kingdom would come, but you know, I'm getting close to retirement, and I've been down shopping for motorhomes, and I've mapped out all the Cracker Barrels. You knew I had to go there. I've mapped out all the Cracker Barrels around the United States, and you know, I just have a goal of breakfast at every Cracker Barrel in that there is. Really, that may not be said. But that's the attitude that many people have today, is it not? Be honest, is it not? Are we active in pursuing? Are we passive in pursuing? By the way, passive and pursuing cannot be in the same sentence. Whatever you're active, passionate about, you are pursuing. What you are not passionate about, you're not pursuing. You're standing.
Oh, Jerusalem.
what you are not passionate about, you're not pursuing. You're just standing. You're just standing watching, wondering what's happened, or not even concerned about what's happening. We need to be active in what we are pursuing. We need to be found running toward what we're pursuing. I don't know if there's anything I can do in my life to bring forth His kingdom sooner. As I said, if there is, sign me up for the task. But even if there's not, if the kingdom is to be established on a certain day, on a certain time, and there's nothing I can do about that day and time, I want to be found running toward it when it comes. I want to be found running toward the kingdom when the kingdom comes. I mentioned probably in the last year about being in Esh Kodesh, the town of Esh Kodesh, with a Jewish friend of mine. It was coming up on Shabbat. His wife is not real excited because it's coming up on Shabbat and she has visitors in the house and she's preparing for Shabbat. We were talking about the lighting of the candles 18 minutes prior to Shabbat. And how most people, especially most Christians, Messianics and Hebrew roots people and all those would say, well, it's those Jews and those fences. So those Jews just turning everything into legalism and you know, what, yeah, right. Because they don't understand. So what we don't understand, we judge through our filter. Let me say that again. What we don't understand, we judge through our filter. That's worth writing down. So if you don't understand why a Jewish person lights candles 18 minutes prior to Shabbat, you will judge that. You will judge them based upon the filter of your understanding. But when asked about this, this friend of mine said, the reason we light the candles 18 minutes prior, 18 is the number of life in Hebrew, in Hebrew numerology or gematria and numbers. So it's about life. He said, we want to be found running toward the Shabbat. Now, talk about a different filter of understanding here. We want to be found running. We want to be found pursuing. So Shabbat is going to be a moment in time that you and I cannot change. Whether we can change the coming of the kingdom, probably not, but whatever. Shabbat is a moment in time. It is an instant, a twinkling of an eye between sundown, or between what is not sundown and what is sundown. That is measured. Today we can go online, you can check your phone and it says sundown is at a certain time. You can go online and find to the second, but there is a moment within the second that is the moment that we enter into Shabbat. Are we waiting for that moment? I don't want to just find that it's 7:28, but I've got till 7:28:43 to do my own thing. Okay, and now I got to get into Shabbat. Or are we found pursuing, running toward the Shabbat? And tell you that what you have a vision for, you will run toward. What you have a vision for, you will pursue. You will run toward. Any athlete knows this. I'm not an athlete, so I don't know this in that realm. But what is your dream will become your vision, will become the manifestation of the vision. When an athlete begins, a young person that looks out and sees someone on a football field, and they're catching a ball, this amazing pass. I do enjoy watching at times some sports just because of the art of it, and I respect the price that people have paid to get there. A golf shot. I play golf occasionally. I think it's been 3 years ago since I played golf, me and Barry. But that shot, I've never hit the hole in one. I can only imagine what that might feel like, that you've hit thousands and thousands and thousands of golf balls, day after day after day, doing what others would not do. It's probable that unless it's just absolutely a fluke, that I hit the right tree and it bounced off to the green, it's probable I will not hit a hole in one. Why? Because I have not paid the price to pursue that dream. Why? It's not really a dream for me. It's something that would be nice to say you did, but it's not a dream. If it was a dream, I would have turned it into a vision, and today instead of recording, I would be on the driving range trying to hone my skills. That's not a dream. It's not anything that I'm going to pay that price for. But those who have paid a price, those who do pay a price, it's because they took a dream and turned it into a vision so they could see the manifestation of it. I was talking with some folks earlier in the morning of Abraham and about the scriptures in Joel chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, that the words of Kepha, Peter, is the words of Joel as given by the Ruach Kodesh, the Holy Spirit, of in the last days. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. I would like to say that a dream and a vision, the difference between a dream and a vision is this. A dream becomes a vision when you own the dream. One more time. A dream becomes a vision when you see the dream and decide to own it. A dream is something vague. A dream is something on the horizon. A dream is something that is in the sky. A dream is something that is out of reach. Some have said that the reason it says that your old men shall dream dreams is because they see this as something they cannot attain. Well, why is it that we say that children have dreams? I remember as a young, as a teenager, sitting with some friends on a front porch and dreaming. I remember us dreaming about houses and cars and all kinds of other things that we might have in our lives. And then life got in the way. All of a sudden you have a job and you have a family and you have all of these other things that happen, and a family is a dream, yes. But life itself can begin to take dreams away from you to where you see them as something that is not attainable. Why? Because for most people, before the dream can be realized, they just allow it to disappear, kind of like a cloud in the sky. It comes and goes. You see a cloud, it moves by you, and you forget about the cloud. But when you take hold of a dream, it becomes a vision. That vision now is turned into a reality. That vision becomes a family that is going in a direction, not just haphazard through life. That vision is what you desire. I heard someone say that a vision is your purpose in pictures. Problem is, most people don't have a vision. So you don't know what your purpose is. When you find a vision, when you take a dream and you bring it down and you own it, it becomes a vision. And your vision is your purpose in life in pictures before you. But when you grasp that vision, it can now become a reality. So to me, it's not about the old men shall dream dreams and the young men shall see visions. This is not to do with age. A person that is old is coming to the end of their life. There are many people that I meet that are young, old people. Think about that. They're young, old people. Their age is young, but they're already old. Why? Because they have no vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Happy are those who guard the Torah. Go back and look at it. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Happy or where there is no vision, the word there is divine revelation. Where there is no vision, no divine revelation, the people, have no leadership. That's one of the translations of the word. So a people that have no vision have no desire to lead anyone to a vision because they have no vision. So when you don't have a vision, what do? You stand around and do nothing. Happy are those who guard the Torah. The people watching me, you guys, right there, you should be people full of vision because you're guarding the Torah. We are people that are walking in the Torah so that we will have a revelation of the Messiah who is going to direct us to the kingdom which is coming, that which is we are pursuing. So those who are seeing Messiah in Torah should have a vision of the Messiah seated in his kingdom and should then be taking action of pursuing to go there. For there is no vision. There's no leadership and people just stand around. And when you stand around, it's an amazing thing. When a group of people stands around not going anywhere, someone will start complaining. Someone will start murmuring. If you have a vision of where you're going and you are pursuing that destination, that vision, it really doesn't matter as much what the weather is outside, is it? Okay, I'll just go with this. If you're on a long road trip and you missed a couple of rest stops and you really gotta go, really, really gotta go, and you finally pull off at that rest stop, you've got a purpose, right? You found a destination that can relieve your purpose. Are you going to be as apt to, it might be raining in 5 minutes. I better get back there and see if I can find the umbrella. Or I might need to get my raincoat or whatever. Or are you going to be, I forgot to put my shoes on. I guess I better. No, what are you going to do? You're going to be preparing. You're going to be found running toward your purpose, your destination. Strange analogy. You won't forget it, will you? So when we get a hold of something, as I said, those who are today saying that they're following Torah should be the most purpose-driven, vision-driven people on the planet. When you take a dream and you own the dream and you make the dream into a vision, it will restore your youth. I'll tell you how to restore youth today. Ponce de Leon, I grew up in North Florida. I've been down to St. Augustine. I lived about 50 minutes from St. Augustine. They have the place that he was searching out the Fountain of Youth, right? He didn't find it. At least it wasn't exactly what he thought it was going to be. It wasn't a drink of water from a natural rock or natural spring that would bring on eternal life. Why do I know that? Because Ponce de Leon died. He did not find the Fountain of Youth. The scripture holds for us a fountain of youth that can take a person no matter what your age is today. But if you will get a dream, if you will pray, understanding that as long as you're breathing, you should still be dreaming. But when he gives you a dream, turn it into a vision. Because a vision has the ability to make an old man into a young man. A vision has the ability to bring youth out of age. Enter in the man Abraham. We see that in Hebrews chapter 12, I think it is. Yeah, Hebrews 12. He looked for a city whose builder and maker was Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. Abraham went through life with a vision. How did he get that vision? It began with a dream. It began with a voice, which was a dream. Abram was to be called the father of many. He was told that you will have descendants. Your descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the earth. That was a dream. He looked to the heavens and he saw the sky. But he had a choice at that time whether to accept and to embrace the dream as a vision. He was told that he would be the father of many nations. When he found out that he was old and that he was beyond years and his wife was beyond years, he lost part of the... Well, I won't say he lost. He allowed the vision to be perverted. The enemy will always come and try to pervert the vision. That's called Ishmael. We're living today with a perverted vision. But the vision, the dream, was still there. And though Abraham failed at one time, the father is faithful. He's faithful to the person that takes a dream and embraces the dream. And though we may fail in the process of the vision becoming a manifestation, he is faithful to bring it forth as he brought it forth in the first place. What do we see? We see the dream of being the father of nations, of his seed going forth and covering the earth. We see the vision, the dream becoming a vision that he embraced. And the vision became a reality. See, the manifestation of the vision was held in his hands, was rocked to sleep in his arms. It was called Isaac. Isaac was the manifestation of the vision that was caused by the embracing of the dream. How did he go from dream to manifestation? He took confident action. He took confident action. He had to look at his own body as dead. Look at his wife, whose womb was as dead. He had to take confident action. And that confident action produced a vision, produced a manifestation of a vision that would then bring him to a vision of something greater. For see, the manifestation of the dream, or the embracing of the dream became the vision. The confident action became the manifestation of the vision, which was in the dream. But that would lead him to Mount Moriah, to a place of sacrificing, of being willing to sacrifice the manifestation of his vision in order to receive a greater vision. Go back and look at the story. Go back and look at the binding of Isaac. It says that he took Isaac and was willing to place him on an altar. He was willing to sacrifice the manifestation of his vision unto the Father, and in doing so, he received a greater vision. He looked to a city whose builder and maker was Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. We go back to the book of Bereshit, Genesis, and it says that he looked and he said, upon this mountain, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh shall be seen. Rabbinic writers say this, that Abraham saw a vision of the coming kingdom. It all began with a dream. It all began with pursuing a goal. Shaul could in the last days of his life say, I am willing to be, I'm ready to be poured out. Why? Because I saw a dream. I had a vision. I embraced the dream into a vision. I've seen the manifestation of it. It is called the congregation at Philippi, the congregation at Corinth, the congregation at Ephesus, the congregation at Galatia. Those were all manifestations of the vision. And because he had given of his life, he was now ready to be offered up so that he could see the kingdom which he had been pursuing, and the one who had given his life so that he could pursue the kingdom that is to come. I don't know about you folks. That's just good preaching. If I have to say so, I say so humbly, but nevertheless I say so, that's pretty good preaching. So question is, are you pursuing? Or are you standing around? If you're standing around, you're probably prone to grumbling and complaining. If you're pursuing with everything you've got, then you will leave those that are grumbling and complaining in the dust behind you because they're not worth your time. They're holding you back. Pray for a dream. Joel says, Acts says, in the last days I will give old men dreams and young men visions. How often are you praying for a dream or a vision? Before you go to bed tonight, pray for a dream. When you wake up in the morning, pray for a vision, and then pursue what he gives you, because you never know what the manifestation might look like. Shavua Tov. Have a blessed, prosperous week. Bezrat Hashem, God willing. See you again next week. Until then, be strong.